You to turn your Bible to Book of Ruth, chapter number 2. Book of Ruth, chapter number 2. Ruth, chapter number 2. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. I'm going to read a few verses and then keep your Bibles open, and we'll be looking at some other verses as we go tonight, the Lord willing, and try to share with you. Now, remember, I know most everyone that's been in church any length of time is familiar with the Book of Ruth, and I've heard preached from many times in different messages, but tonight, I feel compelled of God to try to share something with you, and I pray that God would help us to do so. Remember that Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem, Judea, came down to Moab because of famine in the land. But then Elimelech died, two sons died, and of course, the sons had married Moabitish women, and then Ruth was one of those that came back with Naomi and back to Bethlehem. She heard that God had visited his people. Let me say to you tonight, God will visit his people. Amen. And sometimes there's some valleys we go through, but remember, God will visit his people. And she'd heard that, so she went back. And always remember, when you get right with God, get back where you belong, God will bless you. And somebody else may come too. And Ruth, she did. She came with Naomi. And so they're back in Bethlehem now. And of course, as they left everything they had, and they needed a near kinsman to help them to redeem that back. But here they are there in need of help and trying to just get by. And I want you to look in verse number 4 of chapter 2. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art thirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." We're going to stop reading there. Keep your Bibles open to this chapter as we try to share tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege tonight, again, we have to be in the house of God. And Lord, we cannot help but think about Brother Jonathan Underwood and his family. I pray for them. My heart cries unto you that you'll comfort and that you'd help them and give them the grace that they need in these hours. I pray, God, you'd help them. Then I pray, Lord, for extended family that not right with God, you'd help them, and I pray for them. I pray tonight that you'd help Miss Sarah Byers and Ms. Ezell, all of our sick folk I pray for. I ask you, God, to help them, and those that's getting up in years, not able to come, I pray you to help them. Those that wanted to be here and could not be here, will you comfort them tonight? Then, Lord, I pray you'd have your way with us that are here, that you'd help us to worship in truth and spirit. I pray illuminate our minds and help us, God, to preach and do those things pleasing in your sight. You know what we need tonight. You know where we are. Everything about us, and we pray, the God, that you meet every need of every individual life, yes, spiritually in this house. Lord, you know the unsaved. You know those that may be here away from God. You know those that are having problems, difficulties, whatever it is in their lives. I pray you meet that tonight. I pray you touch us to preach, illuminate our minds, help us to think. We realize, Lord, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, knowing that there is no other way but him, and that by ourselves we can do nothing. So I ask and plead for help, that divine unction from on high, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're looking at this portion of the Word of God and thinking about Ruth and her gleaning in the field. I titled the message like this tonight, Stay in the Harvest Field. Stay in the harvest field. If you'll notice, please, in verse number 8, that Boaz said unto Ruth for her to stay in that field. Go not to another, but stay in that harvest field with his servants, his reapers, those that were doing his work. And he said, stay there. I just want to talk about staying in the harvest field tonight and pray that God would help us and stir us up, that we may be busy in the harvest field of God, doing what God would have us to do. In way of introduction, let me bring your attention to verse number 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And did you know that Ruth wouldn't have been there had it not been for that servant that gave her permission to be there? That servant hadn't done his job. Ruth would not have been in that field. I don't know that servant's name. I don't know who he was. The Bible doesn't say. But that servant certainly played a part in where Ruth was, what she was doing, and had been kind unto her. And whoever he was, he did the right thing and was doing that. And Boaz asked who she is and said she's a Moabitess. You'll notice that Moabitess is mentioned 5 times in Ruth and talking about as a number of grace. I'm glad she's a Gentile type now. She's a type of the Gentile bride. And Naomi, type of Israel, and she went. And I'm glad God has brought us into the family of God. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, just saved people. Amen. I'm glad for that. May God make that real. But here, this Moabitess woman is Ruth, and she's gleaning in the field, and she's a type of that Gentile bride that got called out of Moab, and we got called out of this world. And we're in the family of God. She got in a new family. She's going to marry Boaz eventually. And he's a bridegroom. She's a bride. What a great love story it is in the book of Ruth. And but that's not what we're thinking about tonight. We're thinking about that reaping, that staying in the harvest field. The devil will do everything you can to get you out of the harvest field and keep you from being involved in what God is doing, what the servant's doing, what those are in the field doing. He'll try to keep you out of it and me out of it so that we not be involved in the greatest work on the face of God's earth. But God help us that we may be involved doing that God would have us to do. I want you to notice, first of all, that Ruth acknowledges the kindness of Boaz. Look with me, please, in verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eye? If that sound familiar to you? That sounds something familiar to you? You remember, you ever asked the question, why? Why did I find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why did God ever take notice of me and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. And she was from Moab. She wasn't of Bethlehem. She wasn't a Jew. She came as a stranger in that place. And she's saying to Boaz, why have you paid attention to me? I'm a nobody. And here you are paying attention to me. I'm glad God pays attention to the nobodies. Amen. I'm glad God pays attention to who is there. And God loves us in spite of us. And wherever she'd been, whatever idol she'd worshipped, whatever she'd been involved in, that wasn't the thing. Boaz paid attention to her. And he was interested in her. I'm glad one day God passed by. And fact is, that servant, the picture of the Holy Ghost, he said to me something and said, you need to get in the field. I'm glad. Praise God for the Holy Ghost coming by, bringing conviction, drawing me to Jesus that I might be saved. I'm glad for the salvation that is by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. And thank God for it. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? I tell you why you're saved. God paid attention to you. If God hadn't paid attention to you, you wouldn't have gotten saved. Your man don't run to God. Man runs from God. Adam didn't run to God when he sinned. Hey, God came called for Adam. He asked Adam, "Why art thou?" It wasn't because he didn't know. It's because Adam needed to find out. And said, "Adam, why art thou?" Adam thought he'd all right. He sewed his fig leaves together and thought he's okay. But there wasn't any bloodshed. And God came on the scene and said, "Adam, why art thou?" And then Adam had to confess up. And then began the process of animal being slain, blood being shed so that clothes could be made, and a picture and a type of us being saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation without the shedding of blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the penalty for sin is death, and so there has to be shed blood. I'm glad for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here she is, and she's acknowledging Boaz's kindness to her. I want you to look in verse number 13. Now Boaz, in between here, he has talked to her and said, I've heard of thee, and I heard of your kindness to Naomi. And he began to talk to her. Look in verse number 12 before we read 13. Look at the latter phrase in that verse. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. I'm glad, praise God, we're under his wings. Amen. You remember the song the Rowland family sings here in Jubilee a lot? Under his wings. Thank God there's a safe place. You ever seen some little chicks run to a mother hen when danger's around? And she'll cluck, a certain cluck, if she sees danger. And those little chicks will run, and she'll hold her wings up, and they'll crawl under there. Hallelujah. And they're safe. They feel safe there. I say, praise God. That's how it is with our God. Amen. One day I ran, got under his wing, and now I'm safe and secure. Amen. Can't anything get to me unless it come through his wing, unless it come through him, and through him. They can't get through him to get to me. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, for the reality and the place. There's so much preaching in here, you can't get it all preached one time. But I'm trying to give you as much as I can. I'm glad I'm under his wing. Amen. Now verse number 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. Notice that she said, thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She said, here again, I'm a stranger. I'm not like your handmaidens. I'm a different person. I'm not of this place of Bethlehem, but you've been kind. You spoke to me kindly, and you comforted me. Aren't you glad one day came by your way and brought you comfort? The Holy Ghost is a great comforter. Aren't you glad he came by one day and showed you there was some help, there was some hope, as somebody cared about you, somebody had a place for you, and you had some, he's going to provide. Hey, and she saw that, and she was thankful for it. We ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. We ought to give God praise and glory for what he has done for us. God saved you. You got a lot to praise him about. God kept you out of hell. You could be in hell burning tonight, screaming and crying. But God so loved you that he kept you out of hell and took notice of you when you was unlovely and when you was a stranger and an outcast. But God came by and took knowledge of that one out there. And praise God, he did. Amen. I wasn't like those others. But thank God I'm in the family now. I was different. I was lost and I was without God. And if you're here tonight lost without God, I want to report to you there's help and there's hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And here Ruth is, and she's thankful to God for this, and she's appraising him and giving Lord glory for it. But I want you to notice, secondly, Ruth's blessings from Boaz. Now, I'm going to talk about that feeling in just a moment. But now she's thanking, she's thanked him for what? Taking notice, paying attention to her. And now Boaz is going to give her some blessings. I want you to look in verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. She's having fellowship with those that are doing the reaping now. Now remember, she's a poor lady. And she's falling behind the reapers. And she's one of those that society may have looked down on, but she didn't have anything to eat. All she had was what she could glean and what she could pick up that they left. Leviticus, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll find that God made provision for the poor that they could follow and the reapers. And they had to leave leave the corners, and they had to, what they dropped, they couldn't go back and pick it. They had to leave it for the poor folk to come by and pick it up. God took, made provision. I'm glad God made provision for them. I'm glad God had a provision for me before I got in the family. But after I got in the family, I want you to notice here in verse number 14, at mealtime, he invites us to come. That's where we are tonight. We're sitting in the, at the house at the table, amen. It's mealtime. We've come to eat so we can go back out and get in the field and harvest for the Lord Jesus. Now notice this. And she sat there with beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. Now that's cooked corn. That's ready to eat. He reached it to her, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. I want you to hold on that word sufficed. We'll see it again later in scripture here. And think about it. She got satisfied. She come in the meal table and she ate. She was fed by his own hand. Aren't you glad you can come to the table of God and God will reach out and feed you something, give you something from his table. Amen. He's got something for us every time we come to the house of God. God will give us something that will help us if we'll. Somebody said she had a hand-to-mouth existence. So from God's hand to her mouth. Amen. From Boaz's hand to her mouth. And we've got the same thing. From God's hand to our mouth. God takes care of his own. God loves us. Amen. But there she is sitting there. She's poor. And he said, come on in the house. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. He said, come on in. We're going to fellowship. We're going to sit at the table. And not only going to sit at the table, but I'm going to feed you. I'm going to hand you something to eat while you're sitting here. Don't you know her heart was a pounding? Here she is, a stranger. And she already thanked him being kind to her. But now he invites her in the house. And then he starts feeding her. And said, here, have some of this. And she eats until she's satisfied. And then she goes back out. And she gets up and leaves the table. But notice something else. When she leaves to go out and harvest in the field, Boaz, he keeps on working. He doesn't forget about her. He doesn't say, well, now she's been to church. She's been to the meal table. And she's gone back out to glean now. He doesn't forget about her then. Notice what goes on said in verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purposes for her. Handfuls of purpose. I'm glad God's got some handfuls of purpose for you tonight. Something for me tonight. And something going to drop. Somebody went out this morning and said, that message was for me. God sent that to me. You know what? God just said, here's a handful of purpose for you. Here's something. And God, here Boaz is. He's thinking about Ruth following those reapers. He said, now let her glean. And don't you say anything to her. Don't you bother. But said, no, let her glean. Every once in a while, you drop her a handful of purpose out there. I mean, a whole handful. Get you a whole bunch. And drop it down on the ground and leave it so she can pick it up. Aren't you glad God lets us glean in his field? And every once in a while, he'll drop you some handfuls of purpose. Amen. And there's something out there. And he's saying, let her glean, let her among the sheaves, approach her not. In verse 16, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad God makes all the arrangements. He knows ahead of time. And Boaz making an arrangement for her ahead of time so she'll have plenty. And she'll get some results from what she's endeavoring to do. She was not lazy. She did not lay at the house and say, well, I'm hungry. She got out there in the field and gleaned where she had a right to go. And sometimes we need to get in the field and glean, amen, and go out there after somebody and try to glean. I've told this many times here, but I can't help it. If I preach on Ruth, and in chapter 2, I think of it every time I preach. I was preaching for Brother Don Farmer in Anahuac, West Virginia. And if you've never been to Anahuac, you've never been anywhere. Hadn't been to Anahuac, West Virginia. You can go around one curve, going across a mountain over there, you'll meet yourself coming back. And we got over there in that town, and that was years ago. We had a meeting over there. God was blessing. And one night I preached on this out of this chapter. It wasn't this message. I'd never done this before, but I preached like this along this line, but not just like this tonight. But I was preaching along the line of what I was preaching that night and emphasizing was gleaning the corners. that the main harvest has been through. And I believe that we could look at it today and say great revivals have been in the past, but there's still some gleaning to do. I'm not saying we cannot have great revival today. I'm saying we're not having great revival today. We may have it, but if we don't have it, there's still corners to be gleaned out there. There's still some handfuls of purpose God will drop on out there somewhere. But I preached that night and all night long. I said, we've got to get the corners. And we got to reap those. And that night we gave an invitation. Some people got saved. And I didn't know who they were. I had no idea. At that time, coal mines was running and people gathered. The house was full. And we was having good meeting all that. But the preacher came to me after service. He said, preacher, do you know what the names of those people were that got saved? I said, no, sir. I don't know them at all. He said their last name was Corner. And said, all night long, you preach to the corners. We got to get the corners. Amen. And they got saved that night. I say, hallelujah. Amen. God dropped some handfuls of purpose that night for them so they could be saved. And they got the message that night. Amen. And because that was their name. Your name may not be Corner, but if you're lost, I'm glad God's interested in you. He knows where you are. If you're in the corner, he knows where you are. And he knows how to help you if you'll let him. And we're trying tonight to feed the flock and together in the harvest at the same time. But I'm glad she could gather in and she could follow after and she could pick up and she could get that grain. But now notice thirdly here. Now she's in the field. She's going back out gleaning now. And verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, beat out that she gleaned. And she took what she gleaned and she beat it out. That is, she got the chaff off of it, the straw, she got away from it. She was after the grain and all that other stuff. She wasn't after that. She wasn't after the gossip. She wasn't after just being petted herself. She wasn't after any of that. She's after that grain. She wanted the grain. And so she beat out the rest of it and throwed it to the side and said, I'm going to feast on the grain. And fact is, it's so good, I'm going to take it and share it with somebody else. Look at verse 18. And she took it up, went in the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was suffice. I'd never seen that before. I've read the book of Ruth. I've looked at it, saw it. I preached before, but that one little phrase, I never really paid much attention to it. But notice what it says, that she had reserved after she was suffice. Where does it say she was sufficed at? Down there in the house at mealtime when Boaz fed her with his own hand. She was sufficed. She had not only been sufficed, but she tucked away some of that cooked corn. She tucked away some of that good stuff already ready. Her mother-in-law was hungry out there, and so she went back and took her some that was ready to eat so she'd have something. I say, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I've got something worth telling about. I got something I can share with somebody else that has satisfied me. It can satisfy them. It satisfied my hunger spiritually. It satisfied my soul. And thank God he can satisfy them if they'll come. Hallelujah. Amen. I praise God. And the Lamb, it's good. She's got excited. Hey, she was sufficed. She's satisfied. But she didn't just sit back and say, well, I got the glean, got to go to the house. I got satisfied. And I got the glean a little bit. Here's you something, cook it up. Yeah, she brought her some already ready. I said, hallelujah. I thank God for that nugget, tucked it away and shouted, amen. I say, praise God. God wants us to share what we've ever experienced ourselves. Naomi she wasn't there. She wasn't at the place. She was an older woman. She wasn't there. But Ruth got it and took it to her. I say, hallelujah. We've got it. Let's take it to them out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may have some help, amen. Now, there's a whole lot in all this, and I'll try to shorten it up here a little bit. I said, try. You know what that means, don't you? Said, I try. So she got suffice. This thing's full of good stuff. But then after she took Naomi that, Naomi got to asking questions. And then we talked about that in prayer room. Brother Bob down here talking about Before he got saved, he got, kept coming back and talking about somebody at work, kept coming back to him asking questions. When somebody gets interested, he got to start asking questions. Here Naomi started asking questions. Said, where has thou gleaned today? And what have you wrought? Said, what's going on here? How'd you get so much? That's what she's really saying. She's questioning Ruth about how she got so blessed. And she had that already cooked, and she brought that in. And how this is? And she went on and told her about it and said, his name's Boaz. And then Ruth, Naomi, she got excited then because she knew that's one of our near kinsmen. She really getting interested in this thing. It's man Boaz. And she's looking at that near kinsman redeemer. And she's thinking ahead now. Hallelujah. If we'll go with what God gives us and share it with others, what God has done for us, and share it with others, they'll get interested and they'll start asking some questions and they'll be looking for that kinsman redeemer. And thank God that kinsman redeemer can help them that helped us and can have a great time. Now, if you'll notice with me in verse number 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Said, you stay there in that field until the harvest is completely finished. And then Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they seest thee not in any other field. Said, stay right there. Stay right there. That's where the blessings are. That's where God's meeting with you. That's where God's going to send the kinsman redeemer to help us. Stay in the field and do the work of gleaning there. And notice verse number 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She got in the right field, stayed there, and said, you stay there. Now Boaz already made arrangements, said, when you get thirsty, go drink, get a drink of water. And said, when you get hungry, we're going to feed you. And said, young men's not going to bother you. We're going to take care of you. And she knew, boy, she could glean. And daily she'd get up, go out there and glean in the field. And she brought in the harvest. She brought the grain back in. And she shared it with Naomi, shared it with others. I'm saying tonight to us, God help us stay in the harvest field. Amen. Let's don't leave the harvest field. Praise God. I'm glad for everybody that's ever gotten saved in the church. I'm glad for everybody that's ever gotten saved by witnessing out there in the field somewhere. I'm thankful for everybody that gets saved anywhere. But just think, these others, you say in Spartanburg County, these people in Spartanburg County that would love for somebody to come by and say, I care about you. I'd like to tell you about somebody that's helped me, that they can help you. Jesus Christ is that somebody. And we can share him. We can share him with somebody. And not all the time do you get to just open up and witness and tell them all about being saved, but sometimes you can. But sometimes it's just a matter of giving them a track or inviting them to church. I've told you here about a member by the name of John Parlett, lived in Rural Retreat, Virginia. He couldn't read. He come from New York City or New York State. I don't know, New York City, New York State. But he moved down, and I saw him one day carrying a radio on his shoulder. He's walking down the street, a big bobbing it. Whatever you do when you listen to that kind of music, you know. And I thought, man, I need to find out about this whoever this fella is. And so I got to talking to him. And make a long story short, he came to church, got saved. And one day I saw him coming down the road carrying his Bible. And I stopped and I asked him, I said, John, where you been? He said, I've been up here on the hill. And he pointed toward the house. I said, what you been doing? He said, I've been telling him about Jesus and trying to get him saved. I said, you got your Bible? And he said, yes, sir. I said, what you been doing? He opened it up. Somebody marked Romans 10, 9 and 10. He said, I've been showing him there, and said, there it is, read it. Amen, there it is, read it. Can't you and I go tell somebody about Jesus? Can't you and I go invite somebody to church? Can't you and I get involved in the harvest field and tell somebody Jesus saves, Jesus saves? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit will make it real to our hearts. There's a harvest field out here, and the grain will perish if somebody doesn't reap the corners, glean after the reapers. Lord, there's been people saved. There's been folk got right with God. There's a lot of people saved around, but Lord, there's a lot of folk out there been dropped by the wayside. Somebody needs to care enough to try to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I pray tonight, have your way magnify yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.